and say,
you're so good, you're so good, you're so good, you're so good to me, you're so good, you're so good to me,
yes you are, thank you Lord, you're so good to us, we praise you, we honor you, we bless you today Father, praise the Lord everyone.
God. Father God, we just praise you tonight. We bless you. We honor you. Father, we're just glad to be called the sons and daughters of the living God. We thank you, Lord, that you have saved us. You have redeemed us. Lord, you have delivered us and set us free. We just glorify you tonight. Father, we're just glad to be in the house of the Lord. We've come ready to praise you, to glorify you. Father, we've come here, Father God, tonight to be grateful for our nation, Father, and grateful for the men and women that serve our nation and serve our community. Father, we love you. We praise you. We thank you for these individuals that we're here to honor tonight. Father, we trust that you will richly bless them. You will strengthen them. Father, you'll take care of them, meet all their needs. Father, we thank you. Lord, you told us in your word that, first of all, that we should pray for those that are in our civic government, those that serve in our leadership in this nation. So, Father, therefore, we pray for the President of the United States. Father, we pray for every congressman and woman. We pray for our senators, our Supreme Court, our state and local governments, that the gospel of Jesus Christ would have free course in America. Lord, we love you. We praise you. Father, we thank you that you're doing a mighty work in this community. Father, we say that all, we declare together tonight that all Erie County shall be saved. Father, we thank you for every man, woman, and child that will come out of darkness and into the light of the gospel. Father, we're going to rejoice tonight. Father, we're going to be glad. And Father, we thank you that your spirit, that your presence is with us. And Lord, we just give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone shout it. Amen. Hey, before you're seated, go ahead, get out of your seats and greet one another in the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. It sure is good to see everybody here tonight. Everyone's greeting one another. Hey, nobody blew away with that wind out there tonight. We're glad to see that. Praise God. It's good to see everyone greeting, loving on one another. It's wonderful. Praise the Lord. We welcome you to Family Church. Of course, a very special evening that we have in store. We're just so honored that everybody could be here as we're going to pay tribute to our veterans and our first responders. We're just so glad. We're honored. Of course, this past Tuesday was Veterans Day, and we just wish everyone a very happy Veterans Day. And of course, this week, what an important day it is, because we are so grateful for those that serve our nation, those that serve our community. Where would we be without you? Amen. Yeah, that's absolutely right. We're just so glad. We're excited for tonight. And of course, don't forget, we're going to be honoring all of you here in just a few moments. But before we do, don't forget that we have a food reception right after service here tonight. And so that's over in our fellowship hall. There's some good food over there. I hope everyone can join us for that. A few things just in the way of announcements real quickly. Ladies, don't forget that we have a women's group that meets on the last Saturday of every month. And that is coming up here in just 2 weeks. So that'll be the 29th of November. It's hard to believe. Hey, we are just what? 1 month and 10 days away from Christmas Day, right? I know. I mean, the year is just going by so fast. You know, we've dodged all the major snow so far. Praise the Lord. And so, ladies, don't forget, the group is meeting the 29th. That's 4:30 to 5:30 p.m. On our Saturday. And, of course, we have service at 6 o'clock. And we just want to take a moment to welcome all those that are visiting here tonight. We're just so glad to have some new faces with us. My name is Pastor Tim Stallman. I'm the senior pastor here. We know that God's got a plan for your life. We want to get you connected to that plan for your life. He says over there in Jeremiah 29:11, he says, I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans not to harm you, but to prosper you, to give you a hope and a future. If you're visiting here tonight, we have one of these welcome cards right there in the seat with you. If you wouldn't mind just taking just a few moments to fill that out, we certainly would appreciate that. Please know whenever you give us any info here, we don't share it. We do not distribute it. We don't sell it in any form or fashion. This information stays private right here at the church. If you'd like to sign up for our text communication service, that's a great way that I communicate with the congregation. Please know your cell phone information is never shared. I am the one that personally sends that message out through that system, so it's not AI or robots or anything like that. And we do have an email devotional if you'd like to get signed up for that as well. And last but not least, there's a space on the back for prayer needs and requests. We have people right here, trustworthy people, that pray over every request that is on these cards. And so if you'd like to submit a prayer request every week, you can go ahead and do so, and it will get prayed for. Or maybe it's just once in a while, or whatever it is. You can just use that at any given time. Praise God. And we're just so glad to have new faces with us all the time. Church, whose opportunity is it to make sure that our visiting guests are warm and welcome? That's our opportunity. Let's welcome those that are visiting Family Church here tonight. So glad to have you, especially on a very special night as we are going to be paying tribute to our vets and our first responders. We're excited about that. And so before we do, though, we need to take up our normal tithes and offerings. And so we're going to get ready. We do have envelopes there if you'd like to use one. Who's ready for tithes and offerings here tonight? Yeah, amen. It's not the oh no part of service. It's the oh yes part of service. You know, when we give to God, it just goes so far when we are faithful with our tithes and offerings. Let's real quickly, brother, can you bring up Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 9, a verse that just tells us why we give to God. And of course, as we honor God, He makes sure to take it. He multiplies it, not just back to us, but He multiplies the influence and the blessing that reaches other people. You know, Proverbs 3:9 says, honor the Lord with your substance and with the what? The first fruits of all your increase. God wants us to put Him first. You know, we have a lot of things that we can spend money on. Let's make sure that we put God first. And then when we do that, verse 10 tells us the blessing that comes back to us. It says, so shall your barns be filled with plenty, and your presses shall burst out with new wine. Is it because we just put money in the plate that causes increase to come? No, it's because in our heart we're putting God first. It's putting God first and making Him the priority that the blessing comes. Amen. And as we honor God, He makes sure to take it and to reach many, many lives with it. You know, not just in services like this, but, you know, there's outreaches that are going out. There is a radio program that's going out with the Word of God that comes from this church. You know, there's a newspaper article that is getting in the hands of thousands of people every single week. We'll never know this side of heaven how far we will get to reach out, amen, through those things. But it all happens because we honor the Lord with our substance right here in the house of the Lord. But let's go ahead. Let's get ready to pray as we give here tonight. We certainly appreciate the support and what the Lord's doing here. Let's pray as we give. Father God, we just love You and we praise You. Father, we thank You for this opportunity to honor You, to worship You, Lord God. It is a joy and it is a blessing to be in Your house. Father, we thank You that You feed us every day. Father, thank You that You put a roof over our head. Father, thank You that You are taking care of our families. And Lord, now we want to take care of Your house. Father, we want to be a blessing and put You first. And Lord, as we do, we know that You'll fill our houses. And Lord, You'll take care of us. For Father, you are faithful, you are good, and we give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Brothers, you may serve the people. And now what we're going to do as the offering is coming around and being taken up, we're going to get ready to shift gears here tonight. And we're going to get ready to honor our veterans and our first responders. And it just seems appropriate that before we do, this is a patriotic night. Of course, we're celebrating the people. But how many of you are grateful for our nation? How many of you are grateful, yeah, amen, for our freedoms and the liberties that we have? You know, it doesn't come free. It's because men and women serve this nation, men and women serve this community. And I don't know about you, but I'm very grateful for the freedoms and liberties that we have in this country. So before we honor our vets and our first responders, it just seems very appropriate that tonight that we would stand and that we would sing the national anthem together. Would you join me by standing? And if you have a hat on, if you could just go ahead and remove that hat. You know, and growing up, I was always taught to take your right hand, put it over your heart, because that shows honor and love for our nation. Let's go ahead and sing our national anthem together.
Oh, see, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight o'er the ramparts we so gallantly streaming, and the rockets red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, see, does that star-spangled banner
standing? Why don't we go ahead and before we start honoring our vets and our responders, let's just have a word of prayer and put a blessing on these wonderful individuals that are here tonight. Dear Father God, we just praise you. Father, we glorify you. We thank you for this nation. Father, we say that this is a nation under God. Father, we pray that you would have mercy upon the United States of America. Father, we pray that you would forgive this nation of her sins. Father God, we pray that you would move mightily in this land. And Father God, that many hearts, many souls would come to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for a great harvest. And Lord, we thank you for the men and women that serve our nation. Father, those that serve our community. Father, that have kept us safe, that have fought for our liberties and freedoms. Father, we do not take it for granted. And Father, we ask you right now in the name of Jesus, that, Lord, that you would bless these individuals, that, Lord, that you would strengthen them, that you would help them, and, Father, that you would meet every need. And, Father God, we pray tonight that they would all know and feel your love upon them, that, Father, that they would know and feel our love and our appreciation for them. And, Father God, we just thank you that we know that the spirit of service and sacrifice, Father, we know that that always starts with you. And so, Lord, we praise you tonight. We glorify you. Father, we just thank you that you bless this time of tribute, this time of fellowship, this time of food. And, Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen and amen. You may be seated. Here in just a moment, we're going to begin calling up our vets and our first responders. We have several envelopes here tonight. Each vet and first responder is going to be going home with a $50 gas card, just a little token of appreciation, just a blessing. You know, back in the day, you know, $50 used to be able to fill your gas tank pretty easily. You know, so originally when we started this, you know, the goal was to give you a full gas tank, you know. Well, we'll at least keep you going for maybe most of the week this week, right? A little blessing just to say thank you. Of course, that is, you know, just on behalf of Family Church, we just love you and appreciate you. You know, I'm very blessed and fortunate, you know, to come from a family that knows, you know, the sacrifices of public service. I come from, you know, a line. I'm actually one of the only men in my entire family that did not serve in the armed forces. The Lord had a different army for me to serve in. And so I was called, you know, to the ministry. But I'm very fortunate. My grandfathers, starting with my dad's dad, Staff Sergeant Harry Stallman, he was assigned to the 5th Armored Division in World War II. He paid an amazing price, you know, for this country. He was a tank driver, a Sherman tank driver. There was 5 tanks in his division. They were, all were destroyed. His tank was knocked out. There was 20 men in that group. He was one of only 2 that survived. My grandfather was captured by the Germans. He spent months inside a German prison camp. Here's a picture of him right there, you know, when he was a young man in the war. And they starved him down to one, like an inch of his life. And then at the end of the war, the Russians liberated him and his fellow prisoners, and he hiked across the entire nation of Poland in that weakened state. He came home to my grandmother and my dad, who was just born. My dad was the oldest son. And then Grandpa Harry, he went to work, you know, building his own house, digging his own basement by hand, and went on to have his own business as a mechanic. And then, of course, my mom's dad, my grandpa T. Warner Johnson, he served. That's a picture of him and my grandmother back when my grandpa was in the war. And my goodness, they were just kids. I mean, I believe my grandpa is 19 years old in that picture. And he went over. He was a member of the 17th Airborne Division. He was a paratrooper, and then he signed up for extra pay to be part of the paraglider division. You know, back in World War II, they used paragliders that were towed by other aircraft. And then on that paraglider, there'd be, I don't know, maybe 18 to 20 men, and they'd have a Jeep in there. And when that airplane cut them loose, they were powerless, and they would just glide into battle. And my grandfather landed in battle over the Rhine River over there in Germany. They landed right in front of a machine gun emplacement by the Germans. My grandfather said that machine gun opened up on their glider, and the man sitting to his right and the man sitting to his left were both hit with machine gun fire and killed instantly. And my grandfather, Warner Johnson, he went on to, of course, receive a Purple Heart in the Battle of the Bulge. He was wounded with grenade shrapnel. And then he received a Bronze Star for bravery because he single-handedly took out a machine gun emplacement that was killing several U.S. servicemen. And he was decorated for that. And then he, too, came home and built a house, dug his own basement, and went on to be a sheet metal worker, you know, in his local sheet metal shop. And that was my grandpa. And then my dad was Petty Officer Timothy E. Stallman. He served aboard the USS John F. Kennedy. That was the last conventionally powered United States aircraft carrier. And my dad was a technician, an aviation technician aboard that aircraft carrier. My brother served in the United States Air Force. My wife's grandfathers, Bill Pavlock and Quentin Young, both served in the armed services in the Korean War. And then we had uncles on each side that served in Vietnam, heavy combat in Vietnam. And then my cousin, my first cousin, Sergeant Benjamin Hines, lost his life over there in Afghanistan. This is my little cousin, Ben. And he lost his life on April 8th, 2019, as he was driving a Humvee vehicle. He was on his 3rd tour in Afghanistan. There, on his own request, He volunteered for that third tour. And there was three vehicles in his convoy. He was driving one of those vehicles. He spotted a suicide car bomber that was inbound to try to take out that entire convoy. He intercepted that vehicle with his Humvee. It cost him his life and the two Marines that were in the vehicle with him, but they saved the men in the other vehicles. And now my little cousin Ben, he is now buried there in Arlington National Cemetery. And so our family, we know, you know, some of the sacrifice that it takes, you know, to be in our armed services. And so that's why, you know, we're just so happy to honor the men and women that serve this community and have served our nation. Amen. Praise the Lord. So at this time, we want to start calling you up. If you served in the military or you're a first responder, I have some envelopes here. I'm going to call you by name, and we want to honor you. Of course, as you come up, we're all going to honor you. Then once we get everybody up here, we're going to give you the honor and the applause that you deserve. So at this time, I'm going to start calling some names, and you can come on up. I want to shake your hand, and then we'll start by having you come over to my right, just to the edge of the platform, and we'll line you up right across the center so we all can honor you here tonight. We're going to start with Tom Heyer, Brookside Fire Company of 35 years. Do we have Tom here tonight? Was he able to make it? There he is, sir. Come on forward. Yes. Sir, thank you for serving our community. Thank you so much. Here you go. And you'll start the line right here for us. Denise Fedoroff, Corrections Officer, 30 years. Denise, God bless you. Thank you for your service to our community. Thank you so much. Amanda Aldrich, United States Army. Amanda, come forward. Amanda, God bless you. Thank you for your service to our nation. Thank you so much. Now, I know there's an opportunity. I'm not sure if Melinda was able to make it, but a member of our church, Melinda Howe, a corrections officer. Many of you know Melinda. She wasn't able to be here tonight, but we love and appreciate her. We'll make sure to get this to her. Candy Horm, we know Candy. Yes. Erie Police Department of 23 years. Candy, God bless you so much. Appreciate your service to this community. Mr. Paul Blakesley, United States Navy, aviation storekeeper. Paul, thank you for your service to this nation. I love the tie. You're sporting the colors tonight. Thank you, sir. Praise the Lord. Art Ertman, United States Navy. There's Mr. Art. Come forward. Art, congratulations. Thank you so much for your service to our nation. We appreciate it so much. Robert Kuhnbin. Brother Robert is here tonight. United States Navy. Robert, thank you for your service to our nation. We appreciate you, sir. It's a blessing to have you a part of our church. And of course, we know this gentleman, Mr. Michael Vick, United States Navy. I know some of you are waiting to see a famous former NFL quarterback, but we have someone far greater than that here tonight. Thank you, Mike, for your service to our country. We appreciate you. Ed Horisco, United States Marine Corps. Ed, we so appreciate you. Thank you for your service to our nation. We appreciate it. All right, Susan Sayre, United States Marine Corps. Susan, thank you so much. Did I say your name correctly? I want to make sure. Thank you, Susan, for your service to our country. We're just so honored. Lonnie Getty, United States Army Reserve. Mr. Lonnie, God bless you, sir. It's good to see you again. Thank you so much for being here and your service to our country. We just appreciate it. We all know this man, Reverend Chris Herman, United States Army Specialist. Reverend Chris, appreciate you, brother. Here we go. Thank you so much. And then his wife, Reverend Crystal Herman, United States Army Specialist. Reverend Crystal, thank you for your service to our country, to all of us. Amen. Scott Getty, United States Army Specialist. That's good to see you again. It's good to see you again. Thank you for your service to our nation. Thank you for being here tonight. I'll get this off there for you. Thank you, sir. Appreciate you so much. All right. All right. I've got a name here. I gotta get this right. Ronald Mahofsky. Am I saying it right? I'm always terrible with the last name. United States Army. Brother Ron, we know you. Come on up. I never have an easy time with your last name, brother. Thank you so much for your service to our country. And Ruth Ann, same thing, Ruth Ann. Jaimo. It works. Ruth Ann, thank you so much for your service to our nation. Praise the Lord. Appreciate you. Now look at these wonderful folks that we have up here. Church, what do we need to do to show our proper appreciation? Let's stand to our feet. Thank you, everybody. Thank you so much for your service. We just appreciate you. Praise the Lord. And now I've got a quick question. Ron, I'm not sure if there's anybody up here. Is there anyone up here that you served during the Vietnam conflict? Is there anyone, Ed? Okay, we've got a few of you gentlemen. Wonderful. If you served during the Vietnam War, could you remain up front for just a few moments? And then we'll congratulate the rest of you as you head back to your seats. Everybody, let's go ahead and let's give them a warm congratulations as they head back to their seats. Praise the Lord. Gentlemen, if you could come over here just to my right, Ed, Robert, and Paul. You just want to stand off to my right here. You know, I like to just take a few extra moments, you know, as we stay standing, you know, as these men represent a very special generation of men that served in a very difficult time in our nation's history. It's just something that has always been near and dear to my heart, to honor those that are now, because we're all out of, just about all out of World War II veterans and just about all out of Korean War veterans. We want to honor those that are the senior most veterans who served in a time of major conflict in our nation's history. You know, the Vietnam War and that era, it was a difficult time in our country's history, right here domestically at home. You know, these men, when they came home from Vietnam, they did not receive the ticker tape parades like the World War II guys got. They didn't get, you know, the hero's welcome that they deserved, but yet they went and served their nation in a very difficult place in the world. They served during a time when it was, very difficult politically, very difficult place in the world, a conflict that was just incredibly just violent. You know, I saw this statistic, and one reason why I like to take a little extra time, because you gentlemen are just those that were in Vietnam or served during that time, but we just like to talk about this generation also, because you're representing a generation that went and served their nation, and they responded to the call when it was very difficult to do so. I saw this statistic, it really bears mentioning, that in World War II, the average combat veteran spent about 10 to 20 days in major combat in World War II per year. 10 to 20 days per year in major combat for the average combat veteran of World War II. Well, in Vietnam, the average amount of days in combat for a Vietnam veteran was 240 days per year. And so they heeded the call. They went to a difficult place, and they deserve a hero's welcome as much as anybody. And folks, and of course, these men right here, we're going to allow you not to just stand for your own service, which we appreciate, but for all the men and all the women that served in that difficult time. Church, what do we need to do? We need to go ahead and just congratulate these men. Thank you. Paul, Robert, and Ed, thank you for your special service. We just honor you, and God bless you. Thank you, gentlemen. You go ahead and head back to your seats. Thank you, brother. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. I tell you what, we're honored and blessed to be surrounded by such wonderful men and women. We call them local heroes right here in our community. Thank you for those that, you know, we had many here tonight that serve in law enforcement, corrections, fire, EMS, and then, of course, our military veterans. We just so honor you. We appreciate you. We hope that you feel the love that we have for you. And now we want you to know how much God loves you as well. We're going to just take just a few moments. We're going to get into the scripture. I'm just going to share some short things with you here tonight. And then we're going to get ready to have, you know, some food. And we have a reception, you know, for just to honor those that have served. And before we get into the scripture, I want to just take a moment to thank the people of this church that are making tonight possible. You know, there's a lot of volunteers that are working, setting up food. Actually, some of them would be sitting here right now, but they're back there, you know, preparing for all of us. And I know the work that it takes, you know, from a volunteer standpoint, all the planning, you know, all the logistics that it takes. So can we just take a moment and to say thank you to those volunteers in the church that are making tonight possible. It would not happen without you. We're just so grateful. We're just so appreciative. You know, putting on, you know, something like this takes a lot of hands, and we're just so grateful for all those that are helping here tonight. Who's ready for the Word of God here tonight? Yes. We're going to turn over real quickly to Matthew chapter 27. And tonight we're going to look at some of the words that Jesus spoke while he was on the cross. We started to look at some of this in the previous weeks. We mentioned it last week. And we remember that Jesus, right before he gave up his spirit on the cross, he said three important words that we've been focusing on around here. Say them with me. And Jesus said, "It is finished." And when Jesus said that, the Bible says that he gave up the ghost, or literally gave up his spirit, and he died on that cross. And when Jesus said, "It is finished," he wasn't just saying the crucifixion was finished. What he was saying is the redemptive work of Christ was complete on the cross, meaning that God had planned all the way from the eternal past that he was going to send his son to pay for the sins of all humanity. And the Bible says that those sins were mine, those sins were yours. They were all the sins of humanity. And the Bible says that Jesus was a lamb slain before the foundations of the earth. Meaning before the earth was even made, God had made a decision because he saw all things at once. And he knew that man would rebel, that man would sin against God, that man would do things that would break his law of righteousness. And God planned a special redemption for those that he loved, that's you and I. Amen. And finally, when Jesus went to that cross, on that cross, he was taking all the sins that were mine and yours and the whole world's. And all of a sudden, Jesus said, "It is finished," or God's plan of redemption for humanity is complete. It means it's all-encompassing. It means that within the sacrifice of Jesus is every need that human beings will ever have on this earth and beyond, that Jesus Christ gave his life. He died and rose again so that mankind could know God, that our sins could be washed, that we could be redeemed, that we could be called the sons and daughters of the living God. Amen. How many of you are grateful for the shed blood of Jesus Christ? And the reason why we're speaking this here tonight, because I truly believe that in the spirit of sacrifice, when somebody serves this community, when somebody serves our nation, yes, even those that give their lives for this nation, I believe that service and the spirit of sacrifice always begins with the character of God. It begins with faith. And we know that the ultimate act of sacrifice starts with Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Go to Matthew 27, and I'm going to read verses 45 and 46. And we're just going to look at some words that Jesus spoke while he was on the cross. Why did Jesus, the Son of God, have to go to that cross? He went to that cross to pay for the punishment that you and I deserved. Jesus was spotless. He was sinless. He did not deserve to die a criminal's death. We all deserved to die a criminal's death because that's what sin is. Sin is simply when we commit crimes against God, right? Lying is a crime against God. Premarital sex is a crime against God, right? Profanity can be a crime against God. Murder is a crime against God. Stealing is a crime against God. Adultery is a crime against God, right? And if we go on, we could list things that before you know it, every single one of us would be able to say that we were guilty of that crime against God at one time or another in our life. And of course, once somebody commits crime, what must happen? Punishment is the result of crime. And justice needs to be served. And so God looked at humanity, and the Bible says in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and all have fallen short of God's glory. All have committed crime against God. All are deserving of punishment or justice at the hands of God. But God, in His mercy, instead of giving us the justice that we deserved, He then allowed His Son to come to this earth and to take the punishment that you and I deserved. Justice had to be met on somebody, right? And though Jesus was completely innocent, He did not deserve that punishment. He did not deserve what He faced on the cross. And actually, we're going to look at the hardest moment that Jesus went through over all of it. When Jesus, you know, went to that cross, He was innocent. We were the guilty ones. But it is like He went, it was like we were the ones that were on death row. We were the ones, you know, that were worthy of execution, of eternal punishment. We were all worthy to go to hell. That's where we all were headed. Every single one of us, because that's justice for the crimes of our sins. But Jesus went to that cross to pay the terms of justice on our behalf. And so why was Jesus' crucifixion so brutal? Why was the beating they gave Him so brutal before they even nailed Him to that cross? Because He was facing the swift and harsh justice that we all deserved. And justice was met upon Him, so it wouldn't have to be met upon us. That is the mercy and the love and the goodness of our God, that He allowed Jesus, His perfect Son, to meet the cause of our justice. Amen. And then Jesus said this, and when Jesus was there carrying our sins on the cross, before He died on that cross, He faced maybe the greatest moment, the hardest moment that He ever faced. And it says, now from the sixth hour, that's our noontime, it says, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour, or literally that would be our 3 p.m. So that was really when the sun would be the brightest in the day, but now there was a supernatural darkness that was covering the land, even when the sun should be at its highest point. And then when Jesus was on the cross, this was just about before He died on the cross, it says about the ninth hour or 3 p.m., Jesus cried out with a loud voice saying, we're in verse 46 now, Jesus said on that cross, He shouted out, He said, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which is interpreted, my God, why have You forsaken Me? Folks, this moment should be something that should be ingrained into all of our hearts. Because what was going on at this moment? Isn't it very interesting that Jesus Himself, He asked a question about why God had to forsake Him? And we're going to answer that question because He says, my God, why have You forsaken Me? Because at this very moment, Jesus Christ was being held responsible for all the sins of the world, every sin of ours. You know, every time a human being lied, every time a human being got drunk, every time a human being stole something or murdered somebody or violated somebody, every rotten atrocity that human beings could commit, all of a sudden Jesus was taking those sins at that moment for you and I. And at that moment, Jesus realized for the first time in eternal history, His connection with His heavenly Father was severed and gone. All of a sudden, He became aware God turned His back on Jesus Christ. Because God cannot dwell with sin. God cannot look upon sin. God cannot be in the presence of sin. And so at that moment, my sin was there. So God had to reject Jesus because of my sin. Your sin was there, and God had to reject Jesus because of it. And at that moment, his eternal connection with his Father was severed. And Jesus is crying out, Lord, you know, my Heavenly Father, why have you left me? Why have you forsaken me? Well, the answer to that question is he forsook Jesus so that he would not have to forsake me and you. You know, and at this moment, God rejected Jesus, his Son, just like he will have to reject any human being that ends up being responsible for their own sin. Sin causes God to have to reject humanity. All right? Is everyone getting a hold of this? But here's the good news. Jesus Christ didn't just bear your sins on that cross. He bore your rejection on that cross. He took the moment that you and I never want to face. You know, I said this, we had a veteran service in Jamestown a couple of nights ago, and I said it there too. I'm going to say it here because in my mind, it just is something that makes sense to me. When I think about my grandfathers, you know, I was very close with them. And, you know, as a young man, they shared all their war stories. I mean, some of these things these men went through. And I would always think to myself, I don't think there's anything scarier or worse with the thought of being in a battle and having bullets whizzing by your head or landing nearby and next to you. You know, I don't think there's anything worse naturally than that. And the thought that one of those bullets could all of a sudden just find its mark, you know, and you would die on some foreign battlefield, you know, thousands of miles away from home and away from your loved ones. I don't think there's too many scenarios that I could imagine that would be worse than that. But there is one thing I know would be worse than that. And that is to stand before God, being accountable for our own sins, and have him have to reject us because we failed to call on Christ as our Lord and our Savior. You know, the only thing I can imagine that would be worse is God saying what he said in the Word when someone was accountable for their sin, when God said, you know, depart from me, those that work in, you know, iniquity. You know, but I've got good news here tonight. Jesus has already carried that moment of rejection for you. At that moment, he was being forsaken by God so that you and I would never be forsaken by God. Amen. Jesus was carrying your sin so that he could wash and cleanse you so that there will be no sin on your account if you will call upon him for salvation. Can you bring up Romans chapter 10 and verse 9? This is a verse that we quote around here all the time. It says that if you will confess or speak with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, or Lord Jesus, and if you'll believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. If you'll believe that Jesus went to that cross and died on your behalf, if you believe that he went to that grave and risen again, all your sins, because of your faith, will be washed and cleansed so that you will never face that moment where you would have to be rejected by Almighty God. God doesn't want to reject you. He does not want to forsake you. Can you bring up Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5? This is the result of those that have called upon Jesus. Do we have anyone here tonight that you've called upon the Lord? Yeah. Amen. And it says this, it says, let your conversation, that word conversation there in the King James, it means your behavior. It says, let your behavior be without covetousness, or make sure you don't fall in love with money, right? That's what he's saying. Don't fall in love. Doesn't mean you can't have it. Just don't love it. It says, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, this is why the Bible is saying, it's foolish to fall in love with stuff. Don't fall in love with money because you have something so far greater, so far richer, so far more valuable. When he says, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you, because God already forsook Jesus on the cross so that he would not have to forsake you and I. Glory to God. That's why God says that. He says, I will never leave you like I left Jesus on the cross. I will never forsake you like I forsook him on the cross. because your sins require justice. He said, I had to forsake those sins on somebody. So we decided to levy the demands of justice upon Jesus Christ for our sake. And now, if you will call upon him, right? If you'll confess Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. This isn't Family Church's idea. This isn't, you know, our invention. This is just the Word of God. Amen. It says, he then says, you become his son or his daughter. And he says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Folks, all right. How many of you know we've got young people in here tonight? I see some young people in here tonight. And I see some not as young people here tonight, right? And maybe I think I probably start falling in that latter category these days. You know, regardless of how old you are, you know, regardless, has everybody noticed how fast time is going? Yes. Has everybody just noticed? I know I say it every week, but have you just seen these years are flying by? I mean, it seemed like yesterday we had our church picnic in July. Now here we are just a little over a month away from Christmas. It's going to be a new year. We're going to blink and a decade's going to come and go. Time is going by so very fast. So whether you live to be 85 years old, 90 years old, or if you live to be 110 years old, how many of you know it's going to come very quickly? That day, there's going to be a reckoning where the Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, it says, it is appointed unto men, all people, once to die, and then the judgment. Can you bring that verse up for us, brother? That is, where is that? Hebrews 9:27. I believe that's the right verse. I'm just preaching out of my heart here. I knew where we were starting. I didn't know where we would end up. It says, and it is appointed unto men or unto humanity once to die in your flesh, but after this, the judgment or the reckoning, right? There's coming a reckoning for every single human being on this earth. And we can either stand there being accountable of our own sins, which God would have to reject us, or we can stand there on that day as Jesus Christ is our defense, as a sacrifice of our sins. So God said, no, I said to you, I'll never leave you, never forsake you. Amen. Folks, that's the choice that we have in this life. And I'll tell you what, you know, when we come to the Lord, when we make Jesus our Lord and Savior, that's not the end of the story. That's the beginning of God's plan for your life. I'm here to tell you, you know, not only do we, you know that this day is coming, you know, we have every day that we can live in God's plan and God's will. This is why we put Jeremiah 29:11 right here in our sanctuary. And the power of God is confirming the word with signs and wonders. That's thunder and lightning, if you're not aware. It's been lightning out here. I can see outside there. That boom you heard is thunder. You know, I would love to say that I knew that was happening. But it is absolutely true. God has a plan for your life. And he says, I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Don't follow your own plan. Get into God's plan. He says that he can do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or think according to his power that can work in you, Ephesians 3:20. God's got a plan that is so much better than you and I could ever dream for ourselves. Not only do we want to be prepared for judgment day, how about being prepared for tomorrow? How about walking in his plan starting tonight when you walk out that door, maybe with a brand new, fresh commitment to know God in your life through Jesus, his son? Amen. Praise the Lord. And you can do that if you're here and you've never made Jesus your Lord and Savior. I'm here to tell you, there is an eternity. I'm going to tell you the truth. Heaven and hell are real. The good news is heaven is real. God doesn't want anyone to go to hell. He gave you Jesus to try to make sure he could do everything he could to keep you out of that. Amen. And Jesus on that cross, he cried out and he said, my God, why did you leave me? And God would say, if we could hear God's voice coming back to him, I'm leaving you so I don't have to leave any of those that will believe on you after this. He will never leave me. He will never forsake me. That day of judgment, I'm not dreading it. I don't have to dread it. The Bible says in Philippians 1:21, it says, to live is Christ, to die is gain. It says, it is far better to depart this life and to be with Christ. Amen. The Bible says over there in 1 Corinthians 15, right around the 55th verse, you can go down there, it's a long chapter. It says, "O death, where is your grave, where is your victory? Death, where is your sting?" Jesus takes the sting out of death. Amen. You don't have to worry about it. You're there in Hebrews, brother. Can you go over to chapter 2 and verse 14? And we're going to just wrap this up. I tell you what, I don't have to be rejected by God. I will never be rejected by God because Jesus' blood washed me and cleansed me. It says, "For then as much as the children are partakers of flesh and blood," how many of you have a natural body here tonight? Yeah, all right. And we're going to feed our natural bodies here in just a few minutes. It says, "Jesus also himself likewise took part of the same," meaning he had a natural body, "that through death on the cross, Jesus would destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil." Notice the devil's been destroyed for your benefit. The devil has no part in your life once, you know, Jesus is your Lord and Savior. Of course, he's going to challenge you and things like that. But you can know that the devil is not your master anymore. Look at this, verse 15. Bring up the next verse, brother. It says, "And to deliver us who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." Notice this. Being afraid of dying puts us into worry and bondage, or holds us back in this life. Folks, you can be free of that. You can be free because God decided that Jesus would pay the price for you. And that he rejected his own son because he didn't want to reject you. Hallelujah. And so now my question is, why would you reject him? And that's what Jesus is saying here tonight. Can you bring up, where is that verse? It's playing in my heart. Revelation 3:20. I'm just preaching out of my heart here tonight. Not preaching off the notes. We should have notes in our heart. This is what Jesus said right here. He says, Jesus speaking, Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If anyone will hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and I will eat with him," or dine with him, "and he will with me." See, what's going on here tonight, if you're hearing something like this, this is the Lord himself just using a minister so the Lord and his spirit, his voice can knock on the door of your heart. Listen, God does not want to reject you. And so the question is, do you want to reject him? Please don't. Please don't. And I truly believe that from the Spirit of Christ comes the spirit of service and sacrifice. In this room, we have many people we saw up here tonight that you are willing to serve your country, serve your community. That willingness comes from somewhere. I believe it comes from God. And so let's make sure that we don't reject the very God who says, "I don't want to reject you." Jesus already faced that moment of doom for you. Think about that moment of being rejected by God. What a moment of doom that would be. How awful that would be. But you know what? You don't ever have to face it if you'll simply call on him. Amen. Can we go ahead? Can we close our eyes and bow our heads and enter into a moment of prayer? Here in just a moment, we're going to close with a song and we're going to go, you know, enjoy some food and fellowship. But this is what the Lord would have us to do here tonight. This is the most important message that we would ever hear in our life, is what God did for us through Jesus on the cross. Let's all go ahead and close our eyes, bow our heads. You saw those scriptures where Jesus said, "My God, why have you forsaken me?" Well, we looked at some verses and we answered that question. Why did God forsake him? He forsook him at that moment because he was carrying all of our sins. And God rejected Jesus so he wouldn't have to reject us. The good news is that Jesus died on that cross, but 3 days later, he rose again. He's alive forevermore. And now you saw the verse in Romans 10:9 that if you'll confess or believe or speak with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, If you personally will believe with your faith that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. This is a moment or a decision that we all have to come to. I came to this moment when I was 23 years old. I am now not 23 years old. And it's been even more years than that since I made that decision. I tell you what, it was the best decision I ever made. Not just that decision, but the decision to follow the Lord's plan for my life. Tonight's just the beginning. If you're here tonight, eyes are closed, heads are bowed, no one's looking around, I'm not gonna walk up to you. I'm not gonna make you stand up. I'm not gonna call you down front. But right there in your seat, ask yourself this question: am I saved? Notice I didn't ask you to ask yourself the question, am I a good person? The Bible says there's no such thing. There's no such thing. Not how good you think you've been, because we all have sinned and fell short of God, His glory, at some point in our life. Ask yourself that question: am I saved? Have I personally gone to the Lord Himself and declared my faith in Him as my Lord and Savior? If you were to die today and face that judgment, would you be in heaven or would you be in hell? I've got good news. You can go to heaven. God wants you to go to heaven, but you've got a decision to make. The decision is real simple. It's not me coming up and pulling you out of your seat or dragging you down front or sending someone up from the church to talk to you right now between you and God. If that's you, if you say, Pastor, I know that I need to make a decision for Jesus. All I'm gonna do tonight, with everyone's eyes closed and everyone's head bowed, I'm gonna ask you for 2 seconds just to lift your hand in the air, take one small step towards God and say, Lord, here I am. I want my sins to be washed and cleansed by Jesus. Once I see your hand, I'll have you put it right back down. I see that hand, you can put it down. I see that hand and that hand. And that hand, and that hand, and that hand, you can put them down. I see that hand, you can put it down. God loves you. He loves you so much that He was willing to turn His back on Jesus so He could turn towards you. Is there anybody else you just know in your heart you need to respond? Some people, sometimes they think, well, I got to get some things right before I respond. Oh, no. You can... Man, you cannot get right without Him. You can't say, well, I'll go clean myself up and then I'll come to God. No, God wants to take you just the way you are. If that's you and you still haven't responded, could you just lift your hand up? If you just in your heart, you know you need to respond, but you haven't yet. We had several that responded. So what we're going to do now is I'm going to lead this entire congregation in a prayer. We're all going to pray this prayer together. And for those of you that lifted your hand, speak these words out of your mouth. Don't just think them. Speak it out of your mouth. Talk to God. And the only thing He requires is that you be sincere about it. That's all. We're all going to pray it together. Let's all pray this. Speak these words, mean it from your heart. God will hear you. He will give you that eternal life. Let's all pray this together. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe in my heart that You raised Him from the dead so that I could be saved. I thank You, Lord, for washing me, cleansing me, forgiving me of my sins. Be my Lord and Savior all the days of my life. You will never leave me. You will never forsake me. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Did you get some help here tonight? Yeah, absolutely. You know, when you make that decision, you're making the most courageous decision that there is to make here on this earth. Praise the Lord. And I just want to encourage you, you know, if you're here tonight and you lifted your hand and you prayed that prayer, tonight's not the end of the story. Tonight's the beginning of the story. You know, I encourage you, get into a Bible teaching church. I happen to know one that meets every Saturday at 6:00. We'd love to have you here, but you know what? If that doesn't work for you, find another good Bible teaching church right here in the Erie area and get taught. Find out what God's plan is for your life. Get a pastor. Have somebody help you and teach you so you can learn the things that God has for your life. Amen. Folks, have we had a good evening here so far? Let's get ready to wrap it up. Let's stand to our feet. What we're going to do, we're going to ask our music team to come back to the platform. Folks, are you grateful for this nation? Are you grateful for the people that serve this nation? Can we once again just thank those that have served, that have been honored here tonight? We love you. We thank you. You know, and tonight we're going to conclude. I think it's very fitting. We're going to conclude with America the Beautiful. We know the words of this song. We can sing it, you know, and be grateful for our nation, because tonight we're thanking the Lord for the freedoms and the liberties that we have. God, we ask you to deliver this nation from evil. Father God, we pray that you would defend this nation. Father, we pray that the gospel of Jesus Christ would always have free course in this land. Father, we pray that your will would be done in all of our lives. Father, we pray for those tonight that have made the decision to make Jesus their Lord and Savior. Father, we pray that they'd be strengthened with a desire by your Spirit, Father God, to follow you, to follow your plan all the days of their life. Father, we pray that they would get into a Bible teaching church, that they would learn in the fellowship of your people. And Father, we bless you. We glorify you. Thank you, Lord, for the freedoms and the liberties that we have. Father, thank you for the men and women that have served this nation and served this community. Father, we know that the ultimate act of sacrifice came when you gave your Son, that Father, that you turned from him so that you would turn to us and give us eternal life. Father, you are faithful, you are good, you are glorified above all. Father, we bless you tonight, and now, Lord, we ask you to bless this food to our bodies. We ask you to bless this fellowship time together. And Father, we just give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone shouted, amen. Hey, we've got food and fellowship for you.